Hello and welcome to Islam Bits. Today, we're gonna talk about something very interesting, which is how not to get overwhelmed as a new Muslim. This is something that historically has happened to a lot of converts and reverts, and it is said that even though Islam is one of the religions in which most people convert or revert right every year, it is also one of the most religions in which people, you know, convert, and also then they become either apostates or they separate from the Islamic religion. And it is because the Islamic religion and the Sharia, and it entails a lot of things. You know, this is not just a religion; it's actually a way of life. So let's go ahead and start talking about this. So when I turned to Islam, I was not planning to become a Muslim, and as a new Muslim, there are a lot of things that will take you by surprise. First, let's talk about why I wasn't looking to convert, but I did. Well, at the time, I was having doubts about the Bible, especially when contrasting both the New and Old Testaments. I came to think at one point that the guy from the Old Testament was completely different from the one at the Old Testament. I had watched probably hundreds of YouTube videos about people that thought the same, and also hours of reading and trying to find what the original Bible should be and what a real Christian should be as well. I came to find that some of the original followers of Jesus were actually Gnostic Christians, and that their views had very little to do with what the modern Christian church is today. Pretty much declared that I was a Gnostic Christian and that I wanted to find the truth. A few months in my spiritual journey, I met two Muslim friends at work, and we started talking about religion and faith. One day, I got very curious and I told my friends that I would like to learn more about Islam. And they were describing me a lot of things that were similar to the Gnostic texts I was reading. For example, in Gnosticism, there is this belief of the Archons, right? The Archons are evil entities that are here on earth to make sure that you do not make any progress in your spiritual life and that you become distracted in the material world. They want to keep you a slave of this world and make you completely forget about your afterlife. When learning about Islam, I discovered that these entities were actually jinns. You may call them jinns or genies, or, you know, they have multiple names. So, these jinns, which are actually a creation of God, right? Well, Allah, right? God created the jinns before he created the humans, and they lived in this earth. However, they did so in a different dimension, and they were created from the hottest part of the flame, which is, you know, scientifically speaking, it's called plasma. I don't want to get too scientific about that, but, you know, some Sufi sheikhs, or they call them, you know, they say they're some sort of energy, right? Or negative energy, etc. You may, you know, if it makes you easier visualizing it like that, that's great. So, the leader of the jinns, which is Iblis, better known as Satan or Shaitan, he grew envious of the humans and made his objective since then to mislead the humans into the material world so they perish in hell with him. Iblis thought of himself equal to Allah. However, he planned to substitute himself as a god for humans so they would follow him instead of following Allah, right? While talking to the local imam, I really discovered that Islam is considered actually a Gnostic faith in which you seek God, both with knowledge and faith. It made sense to me that to follow God, one must use our sense of reasoning first to become enlightened, and then we develop faith. However, when I converted, there were a lot of things that I had no idea that could have seemed overwhelming at first, but right now, to me, they're second nature. The first thing was making wudu, which is washing yourself before you pray. As humans, we are in a constant state of decay since we're born. Therefore, before praying, it is important that we clean ourselves and pray to God in the most presentable way. This really took me by surprise. Usually, as a Christian, it really didn't matter much if I bathed myself or not, or if my clothes were a little dirty or not before going to church. However, after studying the nature of Allah, both in the Gnostic books, the Quran, and even some verses in the Bible, being clean is one of the most important aspects before praying to God. Remember that verse where it says that Moses took his shoes off before the presence of Allah when Allah presented himself as a burning bush, that didn't actually burn. Also, the shayateen, which are evil jinns that follow Iblis as their leader, they feed themselves from filth, and people who perform magic or black magic, they make contracts with those evil jinns by performing severe acts of filth. So therefore, how can one pray to God while being, while being at the same time an attraction to these evil jinns, right? To this shayateen, that would be a contradiction, right? So, and this doesn't only mean that, hey, if you don't have clean water, or if you know you're in a personal circumstance where you are absolutely unable to get clean, you know, it doesn't mean that if you pray, God will not answer your prayer. You know, God knows your heart. Allah knows, you know, your situation, and he knows, you know, that, you know, your personal situation, and understands, and he's a God of mercy. So that doesn't mean that, but while you can, you know, while you're able to, it's always better to clean yourself before praying, in order to, as fear to Allah and as respect to Allah, you know, and His Majesty, right? Because He is the highest and the purest, of course, of all. That was just one of the examples, right, of one of the things that, you know, made me feel a little bit overwhelmed, and it just gets a little bit, you know, getting used to, that's all. The other detail is that God mandates that we pray 5 times a day every day, and there is no way around this. At first, it is going to seem like a lot of work, but after your first 90 days, it might become second nature to you as well. Remember, you are re-educating yourself into the correct belief system, both in faith and practice. As humans, we are beings of practice and repetition. And to be honest, at first, you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable and anxious. Sometimes you're going to feel lazy or depressed and may not want to continue to pray. But if you pray at the end of each prayer, you know, but if you pray at the end of each prayer, you are going to find yourself getting a lot of spiritual rewards. You're going to feel like you are more in control of your life, not because you have become supreme, but because a supreme being, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supreme being, which is Allah, is actually helping you out. So as long as you put your best effort in each prayer, may it be perfect, you know, it may be a perfect prayer, or it may be flawed, Allah will look into your heart and observe if the prayer was made with honesty. You know, He will inspect your intentions. and he will bless you according to his will. But you need that self-determination and that willpower to keep going. Sometimes you may have more willpower, sometimes you may have less. What keeps me going is actually the connection I feel with Allah each time I pray, and also knowing that there is the chance that Allah will reward me for that prayer when I go to heaven or to Jannah, right? So that's something that's going to vary from time to time. There's times where you're praying which you are absolutely tired and overwhelmed by the hurdles and the struggles of this life. There's times that you're going to be more relaxed, and that's normal. That's part of it, you know. But if you don't pray, you're never going to detach yourself. You're never going to make that connection. And the important thing about praying is not actually just going through the motions and praying. It's actually feeling that connection with Allah. There's thousands of Muslims that pray 5 times a day, and their prayers are absolutely wasted because they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it because of tradition, because they feel like it is something they were raised on, because they think it's right, because their parents do it, because their grandfathers did it. And that's not the reason to pray. If that's the reason why you are praying, you know, you're wasting your time. The reason you should be praying is to connect with Allah, to meditate in Allah, and to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulallah, and to pray and to actually connect with Allah and be one with Him, because we by ourselves, we are nothing. We are just His servants. We are His slaves. Another thing that may overwhelm new converts or reverts is the giving of zakat or charity. At every Friday, after each Jummah prayer, you may see hundreds of Muslims giving plenty of money to charity. However, remember that we all give according to what we can, and also charity does not come in the form of money. Helping someone out in the street, giving water to someone, or simply praying for another brother or sister may be received as charity as well. So give only what your heart feels and also what you can. The more you give, the happier you will be, because the more you're helping someone in this material world to obtain his basic survival needs, and the less detached you're going to become to this world. In other words, every time you give zakat, right, if you give it with honesty, if you give zakat for the right reasons, you're going to see a lesser of a need to be a millionaire over here and drive a Ferrari, because you know that if you're a millionaire and you buy a Ferrari, you could have, instead of buying that Ferrari, instead of buying those 5 cars, instead of buying that mansion, you're going to realize that you could have used that money to help someone out. And it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people see the technicalities of Islam, like, hey, you know, this is, I don't know what the percentage is. I think it's 2%, right, of your percent. I already gave my 2%, so I'm going to use the rest of my money, you know, I'm going to buy 5 cars. I already gave what I had to, and that's it. You know, that's what Sharia says, and that's it. And to be honest with you, that is not what zakat is about. That is not what Islam is about. If you're not detaching yourself from the material world, if the feeling of fulfilling yourself with material things does not go away every time you go zakat, there's definitely something wrong with you, and your heart is probably in the wrong place. I mean, just look at all the prophets. Have you seen any of the prophets, peace be upon them all? Have you seen any of them in luxuries, in you know, in this, you know, driving expensive cars or wearing expensive stuff? No, every description of every prophet across history is they're the most humble beings here on earth. They actually didn't have any possessions. They gave away. They give away all the all their possessions. So that's the example we should be following, regardless what the, you know, technicalities and the basic norms are in Sharia or in Islam, because those norms, they were just provided as a base, you know, to follow back when there were actually caliphates, and back when Islamic law was actually, and Islamic society was actually functioning in order to keep things in balance. You know, you shouldn't become like an attorney in it and become extremely technical in it and find excuses in order to fulfill your material needs, right? Or not your material needs, but your material desires. The desire of having an excess is what I mean. Another important detail, at least for converts or reverts, right? It's wearing the hijab, right? This is a very controversial thing. You know, a lot of women wear the hijab, a lot of women don't. And according to the Quran, women are mandated to wear hijab, so they may not be annoyed by other men. However, this could be a great challenge for a convert woman in Europe or the United States, where you could be discriminated and mistreated by racist people. And there are actually, you know, reports of people actually not even finding jobs when they apply with their hijab. That actually happens, right? So yeah, this could be a great challenge for women in the West, and it has been reported a lot of cases of discrimination, even in the legal system themselves, right? My advice to this is to tell you that if you have enough iman or faith in Allah, He will sustain you. You know, whether you He will sustain you if you decide to keep wearing the hijab. However, not wearing one does not mean that you lack of faith. Allah is a God of mercy, and He understands that you have to go to your job and that you need to survive. If you follow Allah's mandates and behave in a modest way toward Allah and those around you, and you're not letting yourself to be annoyed by other men, and you're being modest, right? You're living a life of being humble and modesty. It is actually better than wearing the hijab and not being, you know, it's actually better than wearing the hijab and not being obedient to Allah. What I mean is that it's preferable that you don't wear the hijab and you're actually obedient to Allah. You know, one thing, believe it or not, one thing does not become attached to the other. There are many, many, many hijabi wearing women that are actually disobedient to Allah, that they are placing themselves more and more in this material world and living toward the next, you know, the next time I want to go to shopping, the next time I want to buy more makeup, the next time I could, you know, I don't know, feel pretty, look myself in the mirror, beautify myself, shoot some Instagram pictures, and attract more people in social media, because that's the case, you know, we gotta be honest. Just like there are a lot of people out there that give zakat for the wrong reasons, that they pray for the wrong reasons, there are actually women who wear hijab for the wrong reasons as well. You know, probably there's some women out there that they just want to get married to a rich man, and hey, that man is Muslim, right? So I'm going to start wearing hijab in order to attract his attention. I'm going to pretend I'm going to be a faithful Muslim. So yeah, it does not, you know, wearing the hijab, it is an act of faith and modesty, but doing it for the wrong reasons, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're gonna wear it for the wrong reasons, it's as good as not wearing it at all. So Allah knows your heart, and at the end of the day, He knows best, because Allah is the best of judges. Well, my final tip is to always seek help from someone else. Whether that is your friend, the imam, the sheikh, or a seasoned Muslim, right? It's always good to get some help. Sometimes there are things that we don't understand or that are open to interpretation, or the things, you know, that have many, many interpretations according to who is saying them or how it's being read. And you might find overwhelmed, you know, looking at YouTube videos, the internet, blogs out there, reading books. And, you know, it's always better to ask an expert, you know, or a seasoned individual that actually has been studying the Quran for years. It's always good to get a different insight in these things, because definitely Islam, it is, you know, a controversial religion. Even though it's a simple religion, it is controversial here in the West, not because the Muslims want to make it controversial, but because of the different opinions that different people in the West have and have taken out of context. So in summary, you may discover that Islam is a religion that seeks to perfect as best as possible our prayer and worship to Allah. This by no means signifies that you have to be perfect, or that if your house is not squeaky clean at all times, that you're going to burn in hell. The key is to do your best effort at the best of your abilities. And remember, no matter how traditionally some people may pose to be, at the end, only Allah is the best judge. So seek not to please people around you. Seek only to please Allah, and you will remain in this faith with much vigor. So that's it for today, guys. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. If you like this podcast, please share it with somebody else. Please spread the word. And also, you'll definitely hear me in the next ones.